Greetings in the name of the Lord. I'm Pastor Tom Brown. Welcome to Bethlehem Reformed OPC Church. We are on our ninth week of quarantine, and we are hoping, Lord willing, this will be the last. Do look at your text messages and email as the session makes this final decision this week on meeting next week, but we are leaning towards that. So we want to thank you all for your patience during this pandemic and worshiping God through video. And please, even if we do start next week, please stay home if that's your comfort level and continue to watch on video. We will continue this service for all who wish to stay home. Now, before we get started on our worship, we have a few announcements. I do have catechism class on Sunday at 2 for the older kids. We also have the sacrament of infant baptism coming up on May 31st for Leon Weir, and so I hope you can make that. Also, June 2nd is voting. Yes, they want us to vote by mail, but you will be able to vote right down here at the Community Center on June 2nd. And then Bible Bee is coming up as well, and the theme is trusting in God, which is very, very important for us to do, to trust God. And today is Mother's Day, so I want to give a big salute to all our faithful mothers. We are so grateful for you. We're so grateful for the sacrifice you make. We are grateful for what you have done for this country, because we're going to learn that we have a republic because of the mothers of this country continuing to embrace motherhood and do their duty to raise up children for the Lord. And as we're going to see, we're going to look at a John Adams quote that talks about how important it is for mothers to continue to embrace motherhood so that we will preserve our republic. So thank you, mothers, and happy Mother's Day. Let us go to God in prayer. Lord God, as we prepare our hearts to worship you, we ask that you would be with us and help us to understand your word and help us to worship you rightly. We thank you, God, for choosing to love us. We thank you for all the promises in your word. And we thank you most of all on this Sunday to remember our mothers. We thank you for their virtue. We thank you for their strength. We thank you for their willingness to fight the good fight of faith, to raise up children for you. We know, O God, that this is such an important work that our very republic is here, and we get to worship you freely because of the mothers, all the Christian mothers who have gone before us and our current mothers as well. And we just pray, O God, that you would help us to honor them. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us go ahead and stand for our call to worship. Our call to worship comes from Psalm 113. Let us be called to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? The one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth. He raises the dust. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of their people. He settles the barren woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father God, we invoke your presence here in our worship, that it would be acceptable in your sight. We pray that your Spirit would move among us and encourage us and strengthen us. And we pray, O God, that you, your name would be lifted up, you who are all powerful, that nothing's impossible, as we read in Psalm 113, that you take the barren woman and give children, as we see in the case of Abraham and Sarah, and even with Isaac and Rebekah, how Isaac cried out to you and you heard his cry and brought Jacob and Esau into this world. So we thank you, O God. We thank you for the cries of Hannah, who was barren, and you gave her Samuel and I believe five other children. Lord. And so we thank you, God, for your power. We thank you for your might. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness. And we pray now that as we move towards continuing our worship of you, we pray that you would be glorified. In your holy name we pray. Amen. In that spirit of glorifying the Lord, let us go ahead and turn to number 417 in your blue Psalter. It's Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. Thank you, Schultz family, coming up to help with the singing. And so let us sing 417, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. Seated. Thank you, Schultz family. That was beautiful. I love the smile. Serving the Lord. Let us go ahead and turn in our Bibles to the Ten Commandments. We always look at the law of God. It reminds us on who we are, that we are sinners. And we also are reminded on how we please God. The Bible says that if you want to be happy, you simply keep the law. And the Ten Commandments is a summary of this whole book, of all the laws, that how God wants us to live. It's all summarized in these ten. So we will read the Ten Commandments from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Let us hear the law of God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything, in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. May God bless us in the reading of his holy law. But the beautiful gospel is that God did not leave us in our sins, but he gave us grace, that all who turn from our sins and we repent, that he gives us eternal life. And we're going to look at that assurance of salvation in 1 John 2:15-17. And what this is teaching us is we are saved by faith, not any works. But as a result of being saved, we produce good works. And as a result of producing those works then give you confidence that you know the Lord. And so here it says, love the world. If you love the world, that means you don't know Christ. But if you say, no, I don't want the world, I want Christ, then you know you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And the perfect example, of course, is Lot and his wife. Lot and his wife lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a very, very wicked place. But Lot, the Bible tells us, was grieved over the worldliness all around him. But his wife loved it so much that she was brokenhearted to have to leave it and turn back and disobey God and was turned into a pillar of salt. And so we want to know that we belong to the Lord and we can have assurance of pardon by the fact that we do not love the world. So let's look at 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Blessed be God who gives us this wonderful promise that we will live forever when we do the will of God. And we can't do the will of God unless God has changed us, done a work in our heart, and made us like Jesus Christ. And so when we see that we're able to do the will of God or want to do the will of God, it's because God's done a work in our heart, and we can rejoice that we belong to him and we will live forever. Let us continue our worship of Almighty God. If you'll grab your blue Psalter, our blue hymnal, we're going to go to the very back. And we are going to continue our study of the Belgic Confession. We are on Article 10 on the back section, number 74, on page 74, Article 10. And this is about Jesus Christ being the true and eternal God. This is what separates true Christians from false Christians. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ is the true and eternal God, you cannot be saved. And that's why Mormons who hold on to that view aren't going to heaven. And Jehovah's Witnesses, their official church doctrine is the same, is that Jesus Christ is a man. He's not God. And if you believe that, you cannot go to heaven. This is an essential doctrine that you must believe, that if you've been regenerated, the Holy Spirit will say, yes, this is correct. So let us go here. Article 10, Jesus Christ is true and eternal God. We believe that Jesus Christ, according to his divine nature, is the only begotten Son of God, begotten from eternity, not made nor created, for then he would be a creature, but co-essential and co-eternal with the Father. The very image of his substance and the effulgence of his glory, equal unto him in all things. He is the Son of God, not only from the time that he assumed our nature, but from all eternity. All these testimonies, when compared together, teach us. Moses says that God created the world, and St. John says that all things were made by that word, which he calls God. The apostle says that God made the world by his Son. Likewise, that God created all things by Jesus Christ. Therefore, it must needs follow that he who is called God, the Word, the Son, and Jesus Christ did exist at that time when all things were created by him. Therefore, the prophet Micah says, his goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. And the apostle, he hath neither beginning of days nor end of life. He therefore is that true, eternal, and almighty God whom we invoke, worship, and serve. Amen. Let us go ahead and turn in our blue Psalter to 270. 270 is the Psalm 128 we'll be singing. And this is a wonderful song about the blessedness of the family. And notice verse 2. Meaning it's Mother's Day. It says, in thy wife thou shalt have gladness. She shall fill thy home with good. Happy in her loving service and the joys of motherhood. Let us go ahead and stand and sing Bless the Man That Fears Jehovah, number 270. Family. This will be our normal time of giving the tithes and offerings. And let me remind you of what God's word says, that everybody tithes. You either give your 10% to the church or the devourer comes and takes it. You have a car that breaks down, a washing machine that breaks down. God's promise to you is that when you tithe, when you pay your 10%, God will rebuke the devourer who will then keep your car from breaking down or your washing machine or getting sick and extra expenses. That's the promise of God's word. During this time of pandemic, if you want to give your tithe, you can either leave it in LeBron's box or you can mail it to our mailbox, which is P.O. Box 519 here in Freeman, South Dakota, 57029. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father God, we just thank you that you are above all. As the Lord's Prayer says, that hallowed be your name. Your name is holy. You are the God above all gods. You are the only God worthy of worship. You are the Creator God who controls all things and sustains all things. Nothing happens outside of your decreed will. We know, O God, that in your sovereignty, in your power, you bring about everything in this world. And so we know that prayer is powerful because you tell us you've designed it to where you hear the prayers of your people. And you get your desired will to become your decreed will. We simply are humans. We do not understand all of your complexities. But we do understand what you've revealed to us. We do understand that you are the great and powerful God. And yet you are the covenant-keeping God. The God who comes down and wants personal relationship with your people. The God who comes down in human form as Jesus Christ and dies on a cross to save his people from their sins. And so we rejoice at your kindness. We rejoice that your mercies are new every morning. And we thank you and praise you for the work that you do in each of our lives and bringing us into a right relationship with you. We thank you, O God, for how you provide for us. We thank you, O God, for how you protect us. And so we give you all thanks and praise. And on this Mother's Day, we do thank you, O God, for all our mothers. We thank you for their diligence. We thank you for their perseverance. We thank you for their love and nurture. We thank you for the sacrifices they make for their children. Not only do we as children love our mothers and so grateful for what they've done for us, whether it was back when they were changing our diaper, getting up in the middle of the night, or when they helped us when we fell and scraped our knee and we needed to be comforted. We are so grateful for the wisdom that our mothers instilled in us, the wisdom to follow you, O God. So we want to thank you, O God, for raising up virtuous mothers. And as we look at General Revelation, we see that that's the last line of defense for saving a republic. And so we thank you for all the godly, virtuous mothers who have fought the good fight, kept the faith, finished their course. We praise you for all their hard work. We thank you for giving them the power and the desire to embrace motherhood and stand for you against the assaults of the enemy, against the false philosophies of the world who looks down on motherhood. We thank you. Father, we also want to thank you and praise you for the work that you are doing in our individual homes, in our lives, in our marriages. We thank you, O God. We pray that you would bless them. We also thank you, O God, the work you're doing in our church. And we pray that you continue to bless our church. And we thank you, O God, of the work that you're doing in our community. And Father, we do want to thank you and praise you for the healing you've brought to all the who are sick. And we thank you that your healing hand is powerful and mighty. We've cried out to you and you've healed. We continue to cry out to you, Lord, for all who are sick, those who are struggling with COVID or those who are battling other illnesses. We pray that your healing hand would touch them. And we pray, Father, that you would be with all of those in the nursing homes, Lord. And the assisted living, Lord, as they haven't been able to get out these 9 weeks, maybe even longer. And we know Mother's Day, many mothers are not going to see their children for the first time in their lives. Or their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, or great-great-grandchildren. And so we pray that you would comfort them and strengthen them and bless them and that we could find creative ways to honor them. Lord, we are so grateful for all those faithful mothers who are in these homes, Lord, who've fought the good fight, who've laid the course, who've set such an example for all of us mothers through their perseverance, how they knew what hard work was and they knew what adversity was and they knew how to overcome the different hardships. And we thank you for their example. We thank you for their courage. And we pray that you would bless them and be with them during this very difficult time as they celebrate Mother's Day without being with their children. Father, we pray especially for Elroy and Norma and Ada and Clara, Father, as members of our congregation. We just pray a special blessing upon them and encouragement upon them as they continue to love you and serve you in these prospective homes. Lord, comfort them. Keep them from loneliness. Father, we also want to pray for all of those who are graduating from high school and college. We pray especially for our graduates here in Freeman. We pray a special blessing. We thank you, Lord, that this community does a baccalaureate. We thank you, Lord, for blessing that service, even though we couldn't meet in person. We praise you, O God, that we have a community that loves you and that blesses our graduates, Lord. We do pray for them. We pray that their graduation, even though it's not the normal way of graduating, we pray that you would bless them and strengthen them in their celebration and bless them in their future success, whether you're sending them to the workforce or you're bringing them into college or a different plan that you have for them. We pray that you would be with them and encourage them and help them. Father, we also pray for a blessing on the voting. Come on June 2nd in our state, we pray that you would allow the righteous to win and the wicked to be defeated. Lord, we know that the civil magistrate is very important. You've raised them up. They are your servant. And you tell us in your word to pray for them that we might live a quiet and peaceful life. So we just pray that you would bless them and help them. And Father, we also pray for the leaders of our national country as well, our president, our Congress, our Supreme Court, that they would all rule righteously, Lord. We thank you, O God, that the Supreme Court heard the case of the Little Sisters of the Poor who are being persecuted from the Obama administration about forcing them to go against their conscience, forcing them to pay for the killing of children. Lord, this is so horrendous, O God. This is so wicked. And we just pray that your righteous judgment will come through the Supreme Court, that you would move in their hearts to rule in favor of these godly ladies, these godly ladies that you've raised up to serve you, to care for the poor and needy, and who are being attacked by our government. Lord, I pray that all these wicked enemies of yours would be struck down, and the righteous would be raised up, and the killing of children would end. Lord, I thank you for Coach Harborough, who is at the University of Michigan, who spoke out against abortion and saying how horrendous this is. And we do pray that you would bring it to an end, that you would protect all innocent life, and that you would bring a culture of life into our country, and the culture of death would be beaten back, that we would honor you and glorify you as a nation, that we might receive your blessings and not your curses. And we do thank you, Lord, for our town of Freeman. We thank you, Lord, that you've protected us from the COVID, from what we know, and no one here has died from that. And so we just pray that you would continue to protect our city from this virus. And Lord, we also do pray that you would be with our missionaries as they are ministering abroad. We pray that you would give them wisdom. We pray that as they report all the difficulties happening in all these nations, that so many poor are being become poorer because of all the shutdowns and all the COVID and everything that's happening and all the suffering that's taking place. And so we pray, Lord, that you would use all this to help those missionaries to do their work and to bring those nations into a right relationship with you, that you would remove all the corruption out of all these nations and allow God's word to spread in a mighty way. Father, as you promise in your word that one day these nations would come to know you. And so we pray for that and we look forward to that. And Father, we come to you to pray the prayer that you taught us to say, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Amen. I'll tell you, I'm looking forward for you guys all be here to hear the Lord's Prayer and hear God's people praying it in unison. Hopefully that day is around the corner. Let us go ahead and continue our worship of Almighty God by going to our Bible reading, which is from the New Testament. It's from the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy. The Apostle Paul wrote two letters to Pastor Timothy. Timothy is Paul's son in the faith. He had the opportunity to lead him to the Lord and disciple him. And he became the bishop or pastor in Ephesus. And so he's writing a couple letters to him, what we call pastoral epistles, to give him instruction on how exactly the church should run. And so we see he starts out with instructions on prayer, praying for the civil magistrate. And then he explains about Christ being our mediator. And then he goes into the role that God wants women to do and the role that God wants men to do, and ends with a wonderful promise to women about being saved in childbearing. And so we want to see here that God is definitely made men and women, and our culture has rebelled against that. And yet we know that God's ways are best and right. If we follow him, we'll get blessed. If we go the way of the world, we'll be cursed. So let us go ahead and hear the word of God in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. I also want women to dress modestly, with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. May God bless the reading and hearing of his holy word. As we prepare to hear the word of God preached, let us ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand his word. Let us pray. Our Father God, we do humbly come before you, and we ask that you would send your Spirit, that you would encourage us in our work on this earth. As we overcome the effects of the curse, as you come and you labor among us, as you strengthen us, as you help us through the times of discouragement and depression, we come and we ask again for your help. We know in our sinfulness we will not understand your word and we will not apply it rightly. We know in our flesh we will rebel against you. And so we pray, oh God, that you would keep us from that, that you would bring us into that right relationship, that you would bring us into the very throne room of heaven, and that we would draw close to you, and you promise that you would draw close to us. Father, send your Spirit. Encourage us. Strengthen us in your word. Fill us with joy and hope as we know who we are, and we know that you love us no matter what adversities we are facing. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. What a wonderful reminder to all of us that we are to praise the godly women in our lives, that we are to praise the godly mother who has fought the good fight. This is the text from Proverbs 31 that talks about the virtuous woman. That word vir comes from the Latin meaning man. Not that she's to be a manly woman, but that she's to be a strong woman, strong in morals, strong in virtue, strong in the ways of the Lord, being immovable in the ways of the Lord as she comes and helps her children to follow Christ. And so this is a good reminder that we are to publicly praise them and we are to publicly lift them up. So children, let me start with you. Mother's Day reminds us to follow which of the Ten Commandments? And since you guys are right here in the front row, you get to yell it out. Is it A, the third, B, the fifth, or C, the sixth? You got a guess? Go ahead, make a guess. Yell it out. Fifth, yes, the fifth commandment. That is correct. Got some shy kids around here, but the fifth commandment. Amen. All right. Here's the, maybe it might be harder. I don't know. All right. Children, what does it mean to honor your mother? A, obey her. B, respect her. C, show gratitude to her. Or D, all the above. D, that is correct. All the above. Yes. So children, I want to address you first. This is the day that you are reminded to follow the fifth commandment, to honor your moms. So what does that mean? One, it means to obey her. So when she says, Axel, I want you to do the dishes, you say, yes, ma'am. The second way that we show honor to our moms is to respect her. And that means to not be sassy and talk back. And so, Olivia, when your mom says to go and help Ava with her homework, you're not to go, oh, come on, Mom, I don't want to do that. I want to watch this show. You're to say, yes, ma'am, and be respectful. The third way to show to honor your mom, Ava, is to show her gratitude. Don't you guys love being in the front row? See, next week, if we meet, you're just going to have to stay in the front row because we've got to all spread out. So we got to have people in the front row, and I'll have my family over here and your family over there. It'll be perfect. So we want to show gratitude to your mom. So, Ava, the way you would do that is when you realize your mom made breakfast for you, you come up to her and give her a big hug and say, thank you, Mom. I appreciate that. I thought I'd have to do it myself. And you show gratitude. And, of course, you all should make Mother's Day cards and all those fun things and tell her how wonderful she is and how she nurtures you and helps you through life, because mothers are special people. They are to be honored. And that's why we have a day in this country to remind us children to follow the fifth commandment. Mothers, I want to commend you all. You're doing a great job. Keep up the good work. I see the sacrifice you are doing. A mother's job is never done. And a lot of time it's done without thanks. And I want to encourage you, each and every one of you are doing a good job. And I want you to know that you are producing good character in your children, because I get to teach them in catechism class. And I see they're wonderful. So don't give up. Keep on persevering. You're doing great. A virtuous woman, motherhood. Yes, they have joys and they have sorrows. You have the good part and the bad part. We all know that a mother's job is very difficult, but what we're going to learn today is that gender revelation teaches us how important that job is. And right now you might think your job is mundane or your job's not that important. But we're going to see that we are to honor you like we honor a soldier defending the very fabric of our country. The work that you're doing is essential, mothers. Listen to this argument from general revelation. Remember, we have special revelation that we learn from God's word. And then general revelation is what we observe, what we call science or history. And we learn about God through general revelation. So John Adams, the second president of the United States, the first vice president, he looked at general revelation. He studied history and he realized there is a very, very important role that women play by embracing motherhood that preserves a republic. Listen to this quote. I hope each of you mothers finds it encouraging and inspiring in your hard job of mothering and not giving up in doing good. This is what John Adams says. He says, from all that I have read of history, of government, of human life, and manners. I had drawn this conclusion that the manners of women were the most infallible barometer to ascertain the degree of morality and virtue in a nation. All that I have since read and all the observations I have made in different nations have confirmed me in this opinion. The manners of women are the surest criterion by which to determine whether a republican government is practical in a nation or not. The Jews, the Greeks, the Romans, the Swiss, the Dutch all lost their public spirit, their republican principles and habits, and the republican forms of government when they lost the modesty and domestic virtues of their women. Do you see, women, how valuable you are? Do you see how important your work is? A virtuous mother produces a virtuous society. The whole reason why we have a republic and that we're able to worship you are the last line of defense is because you guys have been faithful to your job in embracing motherhood and nurturing your children and teaching them. What a profound truth to contemplate on Mother's Day. And this is why you children need to honor your mothers. Make their job easier. Because it's an important one. Adams is explaining through general revelation how important it is for us women to embrace God's role for our lives. That if God has called us to marriage, He's called us to motherhood. And to embrace that, not to run from it. And because we have embraced it, God says that He wants to bless us in that role in raising up children. There's a poem by William Ross Wallace in 1865, and he's echoing Adams by asking this question. He asked the question, what rules the world? Any guesses? What rules the world? Listen to his answer. The answer is, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Mothers, did you know you rule the world? The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Wallace's poem praises motherhood as the preeminent force for change in the world. Is he right? Well, I think it kind of echoes what we looked at last week in Proverbs 29, how it seems like our parenting in our home has been reflected in the nation. And so this whole theme of understanding the importance of motherhood, that as the mother takes her role seriously and raises up godly children, she then is producing the future leaders of the world, of a nation. So each of you mothers, continue the good work you're doing. Fight the good fight. Because God is rewarding you, and we are grateful, and we salute you. Thank you. In all seriousness, I am so grateful for all the hard work. I see a mother who works very hard every single day, so I know what you guys are doing. And it's important, many times overlooked. Many times you feel it's mundane, but it's not. It is important, and God's Word backs that up as well. We're going to start with our text in the very last word. And the very last verse, and I think it starts with this concept. Well, let me just ask you this, mothers. Do you think your job's easy? I've never met a mom that says, oh yeah, motherhood piece of cake. I got it down. Never heard that. So from general revelation, I can argue that a mother's job is very difficult. But I also have it from special revelation. Paul's making that point. On the last, very last verse, he's basically saying, mothers, your job is hard because of the curse that God did from the very beginning. When God created Adam and Eve, He created them perfect. And so motherhood was easy. It was a delight. You're raising saints. You're raising children who always obeyed you, never had attitude. How delightful is that? Giving birth to a baby is piece of cake. Doesn't hurt that much. What a difference. But we know from the curse that part of the curse was that giving birth to children would be painful. But not just that, but we're also having to raise sinners, which means we have to now fight the flesh. Or as the late R.C. Sproul, the great theologian, would say, we have vipers in diapers. And his whole point is that children, little babies, they're so precious and cuddly. We think, how could they be sinners? Of course they're born perfect. Like they're so great. But the Bible's very clear. We're all born in sin. We all have that sin nature. So therefore, a mother's job many times is to nurture their children. And sometimes they have to fight their children. And that's why where that virtue comes in, that strength of character to fight the sinful nature of their children, to encourage them to go in the right direction and not go away from the Lord. So listen to this verse. Paul's saying at the very end, he wants to encourage women. He says, yet she will be saved. Yet the woman, yet the mother will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control, sobriety. Another translation says, but women will be saved by having children if they stay faithful, loving, holy, and modest. The Living Bible says, so God sent pain and suffering to women when their children are born, but he will save their souls if they trust in him, living quiet, good, and loving lives. What an interesting verse. This is a verse that is encouraging the mother that God is a God of redemption. Yes, motherhood is very difficult. Yes, the curse did take place. Yes, as a result of the curse, he made childbearing difficult. He made raising children difficult. But God is a God of redemption. And so God is taking that hard work and he is saying, I am going to be with you in your darkest hour. He's saying, don't give up, persevere. I am with you and I am saving you in this process. You might go, well, Pastor Tom, wait a second. What do you mean you're saving me? I mean, that sounds like works. Well, this is important for you to understand. Salvation all throughout the Bible. Salvation is a process. It is three different parts in that process. You have justification, which is no works. It's by faith alone. But that produces good works, which is called sanctification. God saved us for one purpose, for good works. And then you have glorification. And this, we're talking about the work of sanctification. And so he's saying, look, something that seems bad and evil and even mundane, because it's a curse. And so maybe people want to avoid it. But God's saying, no, embrace it. You're still to embrace it. Embrace motherhood. Embrace having children. Because I'm going to be with you. I am redeeming. I am overcoming the curse. And I am using it to save you, to make you more like me, to make you a shining diamond. I'm taking you through these difficulties, but I'm with you. Don't give up. And so we see this important phrase at the end. If they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control, if they continue, the big if, the idea is we want to encourage you. Don't give up. Keep doing the right work. And sometimes women get discouraged and they don't even bother to have children. And this text is definitely saying, if you can have children, have children. We looked at earlier in Psalm 113 of the pain of the barren woman. And I pray for all of you who have infertility and weren't able to have children. And I know it's very difficult. And I know God's using that for his purpose. I don't know why. I can't tell you in the word why God doesn't allow some women to have children. I don't know. I know it's painful. I know the Bible says it's not fun to go through. And so I show compassion and I'm sorry. And I can't tell you why God does that. But I can tell you that God does work everything out for our good, that God takes whatever difficulties we have in life. And the same principle that we're looking at, where God takes something that's difficult, like childbearing and raising kids, he then redeems it. He then helps us through it. He then takes something that's difficult and makes it good. He then takes a curse and turns it into a blessing. And this is why Psalm 127 says, children are a blessing from the Lord. They're a blessing. They're a reward from the hand of the Lord. And he tells us that we have to work hard to sharpen the arrows and to persevere in this important project to train them up. It's very similar to the principle of Galatians 6. It says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart, if we don't faint, if we don't give up, if we persevere. Then we will receive reward. We will receive blessing. And in this case, in childbearing, he talks about salvation. He talks about the redemption of eternal life. But in this life, It's also the working that God's doing in our character to go through the refiner's fire, to take out all of our impurities, to purify us. That every difficulty, and of course this applies to everybody, all of our difficulties in life, this is why James 1 says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall in the very various trials and temptations. And a practical thing, mothers, is when your son goes ahead and decides he wants to show off his great baseball skills and hits the ball through the window. Ah! Count it all joy. Praise God. When little Susie's trying to reach across the table and spills the milk. Ah! Praise God. Yes, being able to overcome the difficulties in life. And there's obviously more serious difficulties. There's this that are harder to give thanks in. Obviously, miscarriages. Seeing a child get hurt or even die. These are painful, painful things. But the redeeming value of it all is that we're not left in hopelessness. We're left with hope. That God is a God of redemption and He is overcoming the curse. And that's why Paul says this promise to women. That even though, yes, it's true, he goes back when he's arguing for why God's raised up men as the leaders in his church and women to be under the men in church, is he argues back from creation. And one of those is because of the deception that the woman was deceived by Satan. And so he's saying, look, just because you got cursed in the fall, it doesn't mean that you are hopeless. It doesn't mean God has abandoned you. And he's reiterating this truth that God is with you in your difficulties. What this text is saying is God's called women who are getting married to marriage, to motherhood. That's part of their calling. And God wants us to embrace our calling. Just like a man is called to work. But guess what? In the curse, a man has to work hard and it's sweaty, it's painful, and going to work isn't always fun. Always isn't enjoyable. You ever heard the thing? Well, I can't wait till Friday. And then they can't sleep on Sunday night. Oh, Monday, I got to go to work. Well, why is that? It's because of the curse. We were working in the garden before, and it was pleasant, it was wonderful. But with the curse, it now is hard. And so we want to rebel against that. And God tells us, no, He wants us to overcome the curse. He wants to overcome the difficulty. And the promise to mothers here is that God is redeeming it. He is using the hardships to develop our character so that we will shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it's so important that where it talks about our attitudes, not fighting against the Lord. That's why it says if they continue in love and holiness with self-control, it means if we embrace our adversities and see them from the hand of the Lord, see the difficulties in raising kids, we're able to then have a positive attitude that God's working in all of this. And it lifts our burden, and we're able to go to the Lord and realize we're not alone in this work. We're doing it with the Lord. And here's a promise that God will be with each of you mothers, as He has been, and to continue to persevere through the hardships, because God is saving you through childbirth. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. So we see that as we continue to go through the difficulties, we realize there is another benefit, another reward. And that is we make our nation a better place. We make the world different. That's what each of you mothers are doing. In those mundane times, in those struggles to keep on doing the right thing, think of this promise. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. You are making the world different by doing what seems mundane, but it is wonderful and it is good work, and God is with you in it. Keep crying out to Him and He will help you, because a virtuous mother produces a virtuous society. George Washington said this. He said, without a humble imitation of the divine author of our blessed religion, we can never hope to be a happy nation. without a humble imitation of the divine author. So it is arguing as if the people do not work on becoming like Jesus Christ, we can't be a happy nation. That was much like the verse we saw last week in Proverbs 29, that happy is he who obeys the law. God's ways are best. And so what God is telling us in his word, as we're able to follow this word, we will have a happy nation. As a nation, we follow it, as well as in our home and as individuals. And so this is the principle that we see all throughout this text. So if you look at the beginning of this text in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And that all men doesn't mean every single person. It means all types of men. And so he goes into one type, and that's for kings or all who are in authority. And the reason is because there was either false teaching going on. There's always false teachers that they had to deal with. Or these problems were getting into the church that they would look at the leaders in their land. They'd become Christians in the Roman Empire, you know, very pagan, very evil. And they say, oh, we don't want to pray for them. And God say, no, you do pray for evil leaders. And he says, this is why I've designed it this way. We pray for our authorities so that we get God's will involved. The civil ministry is supposed to protect the church, supposed to protect the home, not to assault it. And so God says that when you got evil leaders, that you're to pray for them and that God will then hear your prayers and turn the hearts of your leaders, maybe remove them, maybe replace them with good ones, or at least get them so busy on something else that they won't persecute you, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life. Mothers, do you want to be afraid that CPS is going to come in to your room and home and take your children? No, of course not. No one wants that. No one wants the government coming in and disturbing the Christian home. And so one of the things God calls us to is to pray for our leaders that we might live a quiet and peaceful life, that the government will do what it's supposed to and protect us and not turn on us. And then it says, to live in all godliness and reverence. And then John Calvin makes the point that the civil magistrate should regulate morality. He says when something's illegal, like stealing or murder, you get less of it. And so we should look to the civil government or pray that the civil government would outlaw immorality so that we don't get more of it. According to the Christian Research Institute, in a letter on December 6, 1993, it said this. Said the late U.S. Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan published a disturbing essay entitled Defining Deviancy Down. In the New Republic, commentator Charles Krauthammer writes that Moynihan's most powerful point is that with the moral deregulation of the 1960s, we have had an explosion of deviancy in family life, criminal behavior, and public displays of psychosis, and we have dealt with it in the only way possible, by redefining deviancy down so as to explain away and make normal what a more civilized order and healthy society long ago would have labeled and long ago did label deviant. And so you see the point that Calvin's making and Paul's making is that when we pray for the civil magistrate, we should be praying that they have moral laws. And back when our nation, before the 1960s, we had more moral laws. And once we got rid of those laws, more deviance continued. And so the text then goes on and says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. And again, we're going back to all types of men to come to the knowledge of truth. So all types of men can be saved. So that evil governor, that evil senator, or that evil Roman Empire Caesar can get saved. And we know that eventually it happened in 313, where Constantine came to Christ and came and became the emperor, and they finally had a Christian emperor of the Roman Empire that was doing a good work, that didn't persecute the Christians, but that was blessing them and protecting them. And so God wants all types of people to come to the knowledge of the truth, and we should too. And why? Because there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, meaning all types, to be a testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle, and I'm speaking the truth. And that's the joy and of the gospel, and how God is redeeming us in all our brokenness and all the mistakes we make. God's using everything. That's why he controls everything. He's working it out for our good, that he can take us from a place of discouragement and lift our spirits in hope. because he knows, we know that he is working in us and he's trying to make us to be more like him. And so we see that we have this mediator who is a ransom for all. And then he goes through and he explains that women have a certain proper role. And then first it's men have a certain proper role. And then he goes to women have a certain proper role. And you see in here, there's the thing about lifting up holy hands. This is why I raise my hands in prayer, is because of this very verse. It's a symbol of dependence upon God. It's saying, I depend on the Lord. I can't do anything in and of myself. It's all God's grace and God's working. And he comes all the way down to this verse that we've been focusing on. Nevertheless, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, holiness, and self-control. A virtuous mother producing a virtuous society. Paul echoes this very truth to Titus in Titus 2. It says, the older women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, not being out being busybodies, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The Wall Street Journal editor, Robert Bartley, observed about 30 years ago, he said this, if America is to decline, it will not be because of military overreach, nor the trade balance, Japanese management secrets, or even the federal deficit. If a decline is underway, it's because it's a moral one. Public opinion polls show that the majority of Americans believe the quality of life in America has declined over the last 3 decades. I remember talks with my grandmother, and she told me about the days that she grew up in America and the innocence that was there, the sense of morality and virtue. And we can reclaim it. We have to continue to work and have hope in the Lord and continue to know that the work that we do as mothers in our homes is paying off. And it will in due time by preserving this republic. Listen to Charles Colson. Charles Colson, he's in heaven now, but he was a guy in the Nixon administration that did something bad in Watergate and he had to go to jail. But as a result of being in jail, he came to faith in Christ. And God cleansed him of all his sins, and he became a new creature, a new being. And he became a powerful voice for righteousness in our society, and he did this wonderful prison ministry. And he wrote this book called Against the Night, and on page 56, he makes this point about the nation needing to wake up. He says, may we as a nation wake up in the importance of a virtuous society. May we embrace and encourage godly, virtuous mothers who teach their daughters to be virtuous, to be keepers at home, to be chaste in thought, word, and deed, before marriage, instead of what many ungodly mothers are doing today, saying, my daughter has no self-control, so I better teach them about birth control. Brothers and sisters, my friends, this is a message of hope. Paul has given us a message of hope. We see that Paul is saying that when we do our duty as mothers to raise up a godly seed, that he will bless you. And then we see from general revelation from what John Adams says, he will bless our nation. He will bring us back. Listen to the words of that poem by William Ross Wallace, who lived from 1819 to 1881. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Blessings on the hand of women. Angels guard its strength and grace. In the palace, cottage, hovel. Oh, no matter where the place. Would that never storms assailed it, rainbows ever gently curled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we just thank you, O God, for your word, and we thank you for our mothers. We thank you for their diligence and their work to preserve this republic in their most important work of raising up a godly seed for you. We pray, O God, that you would bless them and strengthen them and encourage them in their everyday battle to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we just pray that you would inspire us and encourage us in all our work, that we would bring you honor and glory. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Let us go ahead and respond to the preaching of God's holy word. If you will get your hymnals, our blue hymnals, we are going to respond with that wonderful song on 451, Take Time to Be Holy. And that is how we draw close to the Lord, by taking time, being purposeful. On 451, let us stand and sing, Take Time to Be Holy. receive God's holy benediction. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, Jesus our Lord, equipped you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now we'll sing our doxology, which comes on 491, the Gloria Patri, or Glory be to the Father. Thank you all for watching, and thank you all for coming, and thank you, Schultz family, for singing. Thank you, Delvana, for playing, and hopefully, Lord willing, we'll see you all next week. If you're able to make it, or if we're able to have services, be checking your texts and your email. God bless you. All right, you're dismissed.